الحمد لله كفى والصلاة والسلام على عباد الله الذين اصطفى خصوصا على نبيهم وآخرهم وخاتم النبيين محمد الأمين وعلى أصحابه أجمعين وسلم تسليما كثيرا رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي رب زدني علما رب زدني علما رب زدني علما اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اجتنابه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته brothers welcome again inshallah to our course or lecture series part 4 of developing khushu in salah so hopefully today inshallah we will conclude this series which we started 3 weeks back today is the 4th week alhamdulillah and it is pretty much according to the plan that's what we planned for that we'll finish it in 4 weeks inshallah and I think we are pretty much on track now before I start just a few things from the last lecture there were a few questions and you know I just there's one correction to that as well is the sister here who asked about khudu so there was a sister who asked about that in some languages or you know some sometimes we say with khushu we also say khudu so khushu wa khudu This was a question asked by one of the sisters. Anyway, so I just wanted to correct this. I said this khudu is probably not the Quranic term, but this is not correct. Actually, the word khada, the root khada'a, which is kha, dad, and ayn, has come in Quran twice. So once in Surah Ash-Shu'ara, the fourth verse, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say al-khada'in, and also in Surah Al-Ahzab, verse number 32 so it has this word has occurred in Quran twice and it literally means it has very similar meaning to khushu it means humility being soft so in surah al-ahzab Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the wives of prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam our mothers that don't be soft when you talk to the strangers don't be soft And that the word they are used is khada'a. Also, the word before is khada'in, which is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that He will make them khada'in, which is that their necks will be down in humility. So it seemed to me that this word is more to do with physical. And khushu is more to do, is as an abstract concept if you like, more to do with the mental or the heart related things. Wallahu alam. This is what I figured out. There was a question I think brother asked about we were discussing this dua Allahumma hasibni hisaban yaseera which is that you know Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that make this dua that oh Allah make my hisab or make my account make my reckoning an easy reckoning so the question was why should we ask this dua instead why don't we ask Allahumma la tuhasibni or you know oh Allah don't reckon me or don't take my accountability I did some research on this. First of all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran that everyone on that day will be judged. And this is also in the hadith as well. So this is something that Allah has already ordained, if you like. So this is that you can't escape it. For example, the hadith that I think a couple of Fridays back, the Imam mentioned that no one will be able to move until they answer 5 questions. Yeah, one of them about their age and how did you spend your money, how did you spend your time and all that. So there will be questions. Now, and also if you notice Surah Al-Inshiqaq, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, وَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوْتِيَ كِتَابَهُ بِيَمِينِهِ فَسَوْفَ يُحَاسَبُ حِسَابًا يَسِيرًا So the people who will be given their accounts, their roles in the right hand, their accounts will be an easy account. And the hadith that I was talking to you about the last time is that Prophet ﷺ said that The destroyed is the one who is accounted for. So the one who actually is called for hisab is destroyed. That's what Prophet ﷺ said that. But before that, he also mentioned in the same hadith that the people who will have the easy hisab, if you like, the hisab and yasira, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will, in one of the narrations, Allah will tell them about this, that you did this, and so much so that the person will think that he's perished, he's gone, that's it. And then after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will let them go. So this is one. Or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it very fast, very quickly. So what I gathered from this, and I haven't confirmed it from other scholars as well, but my understanding is that everyone is going to go through the hisab. But when you say hisab and yasira, that is like no hisab. You know, so because Allah won't ask you, you just, you know, mention that's what you've done. It will be very, very quick. So very easy. So that's what I just wanted to point it out, inshallah. Now, inshallah, we will recap at the end if we have time of what are the points that we covered. Week 3 we didn't complete last time, and that's the bulk of this course as well. So we spent a lot of time in this point as how to bring focus and feelings in all of these arkan, or the if you like, the components of the salah. So we went up to takbir, but we didn't start the qiyam. Now, before actually doing this, so we talked about what what do we mean by this is week 4, so I should actually, because we didn't complete week 3. Yeah, so we talked about what do we mean by focus and feeling, you know, and I'm not going to go into this detail. Unfortunately, we were not able to record this the last lecture as well. But inshallah, we can. If you have any questions, we can ask later. Now, just wanted to point out a few things that I forgot to mention. I guess we were up to here, maybe I think in Qiyam. So some of the things, just to revise from only the last lecture, not before. When you approach Salah, some of the things that you should have in your mind. Can you remind, just pointers, really? From Ahadith, remember the two Ahadith I said, you know, remember them always whenever you approach Salah. It's okay, inshallah, just it's a thinking exercise, food for thought. So remember, Allah is watching you. Allah is facing you, as long as you have the attention towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you are the first to go away, not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is facing you always. You go away first, or, you know, we go away first, then, you know, and then. So keep this in mind. If you want that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala face you in all of your salah, just, you know, your attention will be always towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Second thing we mentioned is that the hadith that the Prophet ﷺ said that every prayer you pray as you praying your last prayer. So how would you really pray? Just think about it. This is a very difficult concept, by the way. You know, we think that this is, and I say sometimes to some of my friends, I think that this is one of the biggest deception of the shaitan, that he doesn't let us believe that we will die. Yes, we think, we think, but we really, you know, it's almost yes, no, you know, I still have to live a few 30 odd years or 40 years or whatever. Then we'll think. So anyway, when you approach Salah with this mindset, really, and think about it, that one Salah will be your last Salah, will be our last Salah. Yes or no? So everyone has to die. So there will be one Salah which will be a last Salah. The point is that we don't know which salah that would be, and if you pray the salah with this mindset, you know, it is going to change things. Now, these are a few of the things that we thought about, you know, spirituality wise or mental thinking, if you like. Then we talked about a few things, few physical things. Can you mention some of them? So when you're standing up, things that you should do and not do. Jazakallah khair. So your gaze should not go beyond the point of prostration, and actually stick your eyesight to your sight to the point where you are going to prostrate. Okay, and this is going to increase focus a lot. And don't close your eyes. Other point, in terms of movements, so we discussed necessary movements and unnecessary movements. So there are movements which are allowed, and there are movements which are not allowed. One of the points that I missed, and I wanted to say it now, is that although it's not recommended to, like, you know, scratch yourself or play or anything, but let's say if there is a need, like, you know, if you want to scratch part of your body and it is bothering you in your salah, so it's not letting you focus, but you're holding yourself, you don't want to scratch because you think that, you know, that's going to ruin your salah, it's better to scratch it and, you know, get it out of your mind, rather than just thinking, you know, I'm not going to move. That's one point. The second thing is that we didn't mention, and this is something very, very common, unfortunately, is yawning. Now, regardless of the salah, let's first talk about yawning itself. Do we know the hadith? What is the manners? What are the Islamic manners about yawning? The two hadiths, the famous hadiths. Someone yawns, what happens? The shaitan laughs. Yeah, this is Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is telling us. According to one hadith, a person who yawns and makes sound, especially makes sound, you know, sometimes you're just yawning, that's one thing, but you are making the sound as well. That's the worst part. And that's very, very common in some cultures, unfortunately. So, and then when you make this sound, the shaitan laughs at you. This is what Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has told us. Also in another hadith, Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that Allah likes sneezing and dislikes yawning. So sneezing is liked over yawning. So it's regardless, we're not talking in salah. Now imagine, this is our manners, Islamic manners about yawning. Imagine someone standing in salah and yawning. That is something really like, you know, you went to meet, and this is an example. So there is no match whatsoever, but just to understand. You went to meet Tony Abbott, and you know, as he's talking to you, and you say, that's like exactly like this. So think about it, really. And this is, we are standing in front of the, you know, the Malikul Mulk, the kings of the king, the king of the kings. Yeah, we're standing in front of Malikul Mulk, and the one who has given us everything without our asking. And we're standing there and we're yawning. So hold yourself, brothers, and because this is a physical action, the hukam is that you try to hold as much as possible. So try to close your mouth when you're yawning outside salah as well. Yeah, but if you must yawn, just try to hold it. You know, close your mouth as much and don't make a sound. These are a couple of the things, and I think this is a very, very common thing. So I wanted to mention it. Also in qiyam, when you stand up, some people stand up like very crooked, in a very crooked way. You know, it's fine. I mean, if you're doing it out of khushu, you know, you're so much attached to Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala that you're into that position. So you become that, you know, you become that humble. But there is no need of doing that. So you need to stand up in a dignified manner. And here I want to mention this khushu that scholars have mentioned, the khushu of hypocrisy, the khushu of nifaq. This is something which is disliked and not recommended. Which is to say that you don't have the khushu in heart. So inside heart, you know, you're thinking of somewhere else, but your shoulders are like this. You know, you're standing in a way which shows that, you know, you are in a very humble state, in a very humility, you know, you're feeling very humble in your in humility. So there is no need to do that. Just stand up and inshallah. Now we're going to discuss rest of this talk is all about, you know, the du'as that we say, and you know, attaching, first of all, just trying to remind ourselves, recall what are the meanings of the words that we are saying to the very first thing, and then how can you associate some feelings and imaginations with them. So we talked about this word Rabb. When you say Rabb, what comes to your mind? Okay, so we'll discuss a little bit further more about them as well, inshallah. So dua al-istiftah, this is the one that we, after saying the takbir, we talked about takbir, what you should say, what you should have in mind when you say Allahu Akbar, what does Allahu Akbar actually means, and so on. Read the notes if you didn't attend the last lecture. But inshallah, this is the most common one that everyone knows. Yeah, the most common dua. But I'm just going to show you a few more from Prophet ﷺ. So you can, there are a number of du'as that you can make, and very, very beautiful du'as. Now, Subhanak Allahumma, just quickly, how do you translate? So for the people who are not Arabs especially, Subhanak Allahumma, say it inshallah, no problem. Yeah, so pure are you, O Allah. Allahumma, O Allah. Pure are you, O Allah. Wa bihamdik, and with your praises. Yeah? Hamdika. Wa tabaraka smuka. And tabarak. You know, we use this word, barak. And blessed is your name. Wa ta'ala jadduka. And high is your, majesty. Wa la ilaha ghayruk. And there's no one except. There's no ilah except you. So bring that, these, just don't say these words. And there's a point here that I want to make. With the du'as, brothers, it's very common that we just think that they are words. And we say them as words. We don't consider the wisdom behind these du'as. These are not just words. So Prophet ﷺ has taught us these words. There's a purpose. And the purpose is that you connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Actually, according to one scholar, you know, this all of the field of tasawwuf, you know, the Sufism. Now, the basic concept of Sufism, if we're talking about the right Sufism, the ultimate objective is correct, which is to produce love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if the objective is to produce love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your heart, that's a very pure objective. This is the objective really. But how do you do it? Yeah? And you know, there are different methods. So people do all sorts of things, which is zikr and all that. But what is the term that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us about this? According to Sharia, if you really want to connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know the highest level of Sufism in Sufism? That you are in a state that you're always seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or if not, you have this, at least at the lower level, this belief that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching over you. Yeah, I'm talking about the true tasawwuf. What is it called in Islam? The term used for it. We started with this in the very first lecture. أَن تَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَاهُ. Yeah? That you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the way that, in a way that you are seeing Him. And what is this definition? This is the definition of what? Come on brothers, you should know this. Islam, Iman, and the third level is Ihsan. Ihsan is, this is the definition of Ihsan. That you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a way that you are seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah? And what is seeing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We can't see Him, but bringing all His attributes in mind and so on. So this is a different discussion altogether. But what the point that I'm making here is that these du'as, if you think of them, you drink water, you eat, there is a du'a. You drink, there is a du'a. You stand, there is a du'a. You sit, there is a du'a. You go out of your house, there is a du'a. You come back to your house, there is a du'a. You sleep, there is a du'a. You wake up, there is a du'a. You go into the toilet, there is a du'a. You come out of the toilet, there is a du'a. Why? This is a connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Always, you're thinking, you just went to toilet, you came out, and you say, غُفْرَانَكَ Allahumma. You said, Ya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, forgive me. Forgive me that I didn't remember. I was not able to remember you in the toilet. And so on. So the point I'm saying is that these du'as have a wisdom behind them as well, and think or ponder over them. So subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, if you'll see, there are many du'as that Prophet ﷺ has told us, these two words come together. Subhan and the tasbih and hamd. Tasbih and hamd. So tasbih and hamd gives you, what is tasbih? What is tasbih? Say it, brothers, inshallah. It's alright, inshallah. Just say it. Whatever comes to mind. Remembering? So this is zikr, yes. This is a type of zikr. But what does the word tasbih mean? You know it very well. When I will tell you, you will say, yes, I knew this. Tasbih means negating all types of defects. Negation of all types of defects and any sort of imperfection. This is the negation, tasbih. It is driven from a word sabbaha. Sabbaha, seen baha, it means, literally means swimming. Yeah? So what has this to do with tasbih? You know, when you swim, you have to float over water. You don't sink, you float. Yeah? So the concept is that it is above everything. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above any type of defection, any type of deficiency. And hamd on the other side is the praise. All types of praises as well as all types of thanks. So alhamdulillah, you know, and that. So what you're saying, subhanakallah, you're negating all types of deficiencies. And what you're saying is all praises and all types of positive attributes that you can think of and you can't think of is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then, you know, tabarakasma, when you say, you know, blessed is the name. So think of it really, you know, you really say that you're going to start your salah with a blessed name. And you know, we can talk and so on and so forth. So I just hit that, you know, just to make inshallah sure. But this is by the way, not the only dua. Okay, so I have just listed a few more du'as from Sunnah, from authentic ahadith, that you can read in your salah. So for example, this is a very famous one. Allahumma ba'id bayni wa bayna khatayaya kama ba'adta bayna al-mashriq wal-maghrib. Very beautiful. Oh Allah, you know, take away or make the distance between me and my sins as much as you have made the distance between mashriq and maghrib, the east and the west. Subhanallah. And Allahumma naqini min al-khataya. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wash my sins, wash my mistakes. Kama yunakka thawb al-abyadu min ad-danas. Just like the white cloth is washed from any type of dirt. You know, when white cloth is dirty, you can see it very, very clearly. So when it is washed, you know, that's how I would like it to be. So completely washed. And Allahumma ghsilni min khataya bis-salji wal-ma'i wal-barad. You know, wash it with ice, with water and, you know, the snow. So it's a very beautiful dua, snow, water and ice. So I will say that. And the way that you can memorize a dua, by the way, brothers, if you're interested, if you think that too difficult, try it this way. Memorize the dua bit by bit, then make sure that for 10 days, you read it once. 10 days, read it at least once. Make it in your salah or outside salah or whatever. Inshallah, that will suffice. So, you know, you will be able to memorize this, inshallah. So, it's not very difficult, and especially if you have the meanings in mind. Another dua is, وَجَّهْتُ وَجْهِيَ لِلَّذِي فَطَرَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ حَنِيفًا وَمَا أَنَا مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. And again, as I said, these are not just the words. If you bring the meaning in your mind, you know, the focus will be entirely different. I am facing my face towards the one who created the heavens and the earth. Yeah. Hanifun wa ma ana min al-rain, you know, sincerely. And I am not of the amongst the mushrikeen. Inna salati wa nusuki wa mahyaya wa mamati lillahi rabbil alameen. Indeed, my salah, my, sacrifice, wa mahyaya, my life, wa mamati, and my death, everything is for Rabbil Alameen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rabbil Alameen. It's a beautiful dua, so, you know, it's part of it, this is, وَاهْدِنِي لِأَحْسَنِ الْإِخْلَاقِ لَا يَهْدِي لِأَحْسَنِهَا إِلَّا أَنْتُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, guide me towards the best of the ikhlaq, because none can guide you towards it except you. And so very beautiful du'as, some of them I just listed them here. Now, Fatiha is one of the most important pillars of the salah. Yes? Without Fatiha, no salah. That's how important it is. So it's one of the most important pillars. So we'll just spend some time on this one. And before we go ahead, actually, this, and just like, you know, I mentioned this, the hadith, the two hadith that you will keep in your mind when you go to your prayer. One is that Allah will face you as long as you are facing Him. The second thing is, approach your salah as like you're praying the last salah. When you're reciting Surah Al-Fatiha, this hadith Qudsi, bring that, always keep that in your mind. Okay? And very, very beautiful. قال الله عز وجل قسمت الصلاة بيني وبين عبدي نصفين. Yeah? I'll say it from here. Abu Hurairah رضي الله عنه narrated this, that I heard Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, I have divided prayer between myself and my servant into two halves. The Arabic is very beautiful, so I want to read this. Yeah, وَلِعَبْدِي مَا سَأَلْ, and for my servant is whatever he is going to, whatever he will ask. فَإِذَا قَالَ الْعَبْدُ, so when the abd or the servant says الحمد لله رب العالمين قال الله عز وجل حمدني عبدي, when the servant say الحمد لله رب العالمين, Allah replies to every one of us, حمدني عبدي, my servant has praised me. Now if you bring this into mind, you know, of course, who will Allah reply, who is really saying الحمد لله رب العالمين? He knows inside out. Are we really saying Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen? Do we even know what we are saying? Have we associated any sort of feeling when we are saying Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen? The reply is not going to come like this. You need to focus, we need to attach a few feelings with it when we say Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Now Alhamd, I just explained, all praises and all thanks. Yeah. So you can praise someone, or you can thank someone who has given you a certain thing, but you might not need to praise them. Yeah. Similarly, you can praise someone, for example, a flower. You can praise a flower, but you don't need to thank, because it hasn't given you anything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken care of all of our needs, as well as He is the Lord of the worlds as well. So, Alhamd. Rabb, the word Rabb. Yeah. Now, these two words, you see, In Surah Al-Fatiha, the first two verses, how many asma Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us? And imagine for a person who have just become Muslim, who was not born Muslim, and he starts reading the Quran. What are the first names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he will see in Surah Al-Fatiha? Can you say it? The first name? Allah, Alhamdulillah, Allah. The second, Rabb. Third, Ar-Rahman. Fourth, Ar-Rahim. Now the Asma, I wanted to do a lecture series on this one, but I couldn't prepare. But by the way, you know, Asma has a very important implications for us humans. Remember what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the angels when He created Adam alayhi salam, and they asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, why did you create? He's going to, you know, create fuss in the land. Then what did Allah taught Adam? Asma. وَعَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَاءَ كُلَّهَا. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught Adam alayhi salam all of the names. Now if you think of it, all of our knowledge today, it's just names. Any scientific theory, any concept, any action, anything that you create, what is the first thing that you give it to? There is a name. Yes? You find a particle, This is particle itself is a name. Yeah? Atom is its name. Electron is a name. All of this is a name. Yes? I'm just giving a few examples from science, by the way. But think about psychology is a name. Yeah? Manners is a name. It's a name of a field. And so on and so forth. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala potentially put all of these names in Adam alayhi salam. And you know, we are just pretty much exploring it. Well, this will go into this detail. But the point that I want to say here is that we know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from its names, the attributes. Who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Remember what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran? Allahu la ilaha illa huwal hayyul qayyum. So Allah is telling us, you can't understand what Allah is, yeah? We can't understand. But Allah is telling us, Allah is the one for which la ilaha illa huwal hayy al qayyum. So these are the names that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling. So here are the names that Allah wants to tell us. Now Rabb, in common Tawheed lectures, there are two types of Tawheed that we always mention, and these two types of Tawheed are Asma wa Sifat. Yes, what do we say to, you know, just on the very high level? Uluhiyya and Rububiyya. So these are the two main concepts. That Ilah is to do with our worship. So all types of worships are for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is Tawheed. Yeah? The Tawheed you can summarize in these two words. And secondly, Rububiyya, which is to do with what? All types of our needs, Allah is the caretaker, and that is the Rabb. So sustainer, we translate it as sustainer, but think about it, what does sustain really mean? So anyway, so Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when the servants say Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, قَالَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلْ أَثْنَى عَلَيَّ عَبْدِي. And وَإِذْ قَالَ مَالِكِ يَوْمِ الدِّينِ قَالَ اللَّهُ مَجَّدَنِي عَبْدِي وَقَالَ مَرَّةً فَوَضَّى إِلَيَّ عَبْدِي. This is another time. فَإِذَا قَالَ إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ قَالَ هَذَا بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ عَبْدِي وَلِعَبْدِي مَا سَأَلَ. فَإِذَا قَالَ اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمَ صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِّينَ قَالَ هَذَا لِعَبْدِي وَلِعَبْدِي مَا سَأَلَ. Now just focus on the translation here. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu said, I have heard the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say, Allah the Almighty and Sublime has said, I have divided prayer between myself and my servant into two halves. And my servant shall have what he has asked for. When the servant says, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Allah replies, my servant has praised me, Hamadani Abdi. And when he says the most Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, my servant has extolled me. And when he says, master of the Maliki Yawmiddin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, my servant has glorified me. And on one occasion, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, my servant has submitted to my power. And when he says, Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in, you alone do we worship and from you alone do we seek help. He says, this is between me and my servant. And my servant shall have what he has asked for. Subhanallah. And when he says, guide us to the straight path, the path of those whom you have favored, not of those upon whom is your anger, nor of those who are astray. So these are just the, by the way, brothers, the meaning that you should always keep in mind. So some of the things just I wanted to highlight. According to Imam Ibn Qayyim, probably, or Imam Ibn Taymiyyah, if I'm not wrong, one of these two scholars, one is the teacher of the other, he said that just this feeling that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to you three times in a short period, Abdi, 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 my servant, my slave, that if, you know, our heart is not covered with sins, your heart would fly with the love and with the happiness that you will feel. So feel the happiness. And he would stop, the scholar Imam Ibn Qayyim or Imam Ibn Taymiyyah, they would stop after saying, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, in an anticipation that they want to listen to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's like, you know, waiting, like, you know, that I'm receiving this response.
Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. So say it with this focus and wait that you would like to listen to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying to you, Abdi. Yeah, my slave has praised me. And also, Walaikum As-Salaam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Now this is Iyyaka Na'budu, up to this part. This is the first half. Remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that He divided it into two halves. And here the salah means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala equated the salah with the surah al-Fatiha. So up to Iyyaka Na'budu is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After this is all is what we are seeking from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa Iyyaka Nasta'in. And if you think of it, ibadah is related to what I said before, the which type of tawheed? Tawheed uluhiyya. Yeah? That is to say that worshipping Allah. And the second type of tawheed is tawheed rabubiyya. Believing Allah is our Rabb, is our sustainer. And that's what we are asking. That all of our needs, we are seeking your help. And what is the biggest need, by the way? Remember what you are asking, brothers. Don't just say the words without, you're making a dua and it would be the worst thing that if we don't know what we are asking. اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. This is the most important thing that Allah is telling us. The guidance. He could have asked us to just ask for Jannah or, away from Jahannam or anything else. Here He's saying, ask for guidance. Why? Because He wants to test us through this dunya. So we have to go through, this is His sunnah, sunnatullah, that we have to go through this process of being a human. Being alive in this world and just going through all of this that every human being goes through. So, and the biggest thing that we need through this is guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim. And then Allah didn't stop here, He explained it. Which type of guidance? Alladhina an'amta alayhim. Yeah? An'amta alayhim, the one who are favored. Who are the ones who are favored? Yeah, من النبيين والصديقين والشهداء والصالحين. Four categories. There's nothing below صالحين. So minimum criteria is صالحين. So we are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the path of those, the way of those people. And then Allah didn't stop here again and saying, غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِينَ. Also, not of those who are the one maghdub. Yeah, Jews, very easy. This is the easy answer, yeah? Who are the one maghdub? The one maghdub is who knows and do not practice. That's what the Jews are. They know inside out what the truth is, but they don't follow. So we don't want to be amongst them. Feel this dislike of being amongst them. They are the people who have the ghadab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't want to be among them. And who are wala dhalin? We say Nasara, yes. We say Christians. Why? Both of them are amongst us as well today, as Prophet ﷺ said. Because they are astray. Yeah? They don't even have access to truth. By the time the Christianity reached them, it was already corrupted. So imagine that you don't even know what is right. You haven't reached it there. All of the life you spent in horse riding or whatever, building a career in Microsoft or whatever. You didn't even know what the life is all about. So we don't want to be amongst them. So it's a big dua, as I said, and then Prophet ﷺ says, when you say Ameen, you seal it. And we know there are hadiths about Ameen as well. Anyway, so brothers, I just wanted to spend more time on Fatiha because this is very, very important. Now, after this, I didn't mention some of the surahs, when you recite the surahs after Surah Al-Fatiha, remember the hadith? Prophet ﷺ used to weep. If he can weep, what about us, really? So, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu used to weep. Umar radiallahu anhu used to weep when they recited Quran. How many times we wept
you know, when we listen the Quran in, for example, Taraweeh, when we are reading it, even short surahs. So obviously this needs understanding, focus and imagination again with attachment with all of these verses. So when the verses of Jannah comes, feel like you want to enter into Jannah. Yeah, this bring this and imagine how the Jannah would look like. When you hear words of Adab and Jahannam, Alayaz Billah, then you say that you don't want to be amongst them. You know, so bring some feeling, attachment to that. Then we go into Ruku. Yeah, so again, Takbir reminds us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is bigger, is greater than everything that we can think of. Subhana Rabbi Al-Azim. Yeah, very common dua. What comes to your mind when you say it? Just share your experiences. Any feelings, any imagination. What do you feel? What do you say? What do you think when you say Subhana Rabbi Al-Azim? Okay, so the salah or any type of zikr, what does zikr has two meanings. What is the one common meaning that we know? Say it, brothers.
Remembrance,
yeah? The most common meaning is remembrance. What is it we are remembering? What is remembrance? So it means that we know something. It's just that we're trying to recall. Isn't this memorization? So we had the arwah, remember? We are coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And to Him we return. It's only we have this hijab from that world to this world. So inside our hearts, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put this ruh, who knows inside out. We probably have spoken to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All we are doing here is dhikr. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells to Musa alayhi salam in Surah Taha. Aqimi salata li dhikri. Establish the prayer for my remembrance. So this is, think of it, it's a very, subtle concept. You know, it's basically we know inside, and every human being actually knows. It's just that different types of wails come on your heart. We are just remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're trying to remember. Yeah. Now, when you remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you make a dhikr, you do the dhikr in the best forms. And this is the best form. This is the dua that Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us. Now, somebody asked this question before as well, that can we make other duas? Yes, you can make other duas. But, you know, the best of the duas are the ones that Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us. And the reason why in Surah Hud, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about the story of Nuh alayhi salam. When the storm has passed, Nuh alayhi salam made a dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What was this dua? Qala Rabbi. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. قال نوح ربي إن ابني من أهلي وإن وعدك الحق وأنت أحكم الحاكمين. Oh Allah, my son was from my family, and you know you said that you will save my ahl. So he's not saved. He's trying to say this. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replied to him, you know, don't ask. He was not. So first he said that he was not amongst you because he was not pure. Then after that he said to Nuh alayhi salam, Nuh, don't ask of something that you don't know of. And straight away after Nuh alayhi salam said, Allahumma inni a'udhu, Rabbi inni a'udhu bika an as'alaka ma laysa li bihi ilm. O Allah, I seek your refuge of asking something that I don't know of. So there is always this danger that if you're asking something you don't know, if it is you're asking the right thing or not. So that is why it is very important that you make the du'as in the words of what Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us. These are the best du'as. Yeah? But, you know, if you want to make du'a in your own language and all that, of course, this is allowed. But I just wanted to make. So now, remember again that we know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from its names. In this position, ruku, we are making this zikr with this name. So remember this. First of all, when you say Rabb, you know, and I use this example, there's no comparison again. I just want to make it clarify. But
in isolation, when you are separate, just say Ummi. Yeah, my mother. Just sit down and think of your mother and say my mother. Mother, you know, in your language. I say Ma, yeah, or Ammi, or Ummi. How do you feel? He is saying Rabbi. Very special. Rabbi, my Lord, my sustainer, my creator. Yeah? And remember we said that last time. He loves you more than, according to one hadith, 70 times more than our mother. Yes? So all of this, so when you say Rabbi, you know, attach some feelings, and we saying Rabbil Azim. So the meaning of Azim, Azim is, you know, there are many meanings, but one of them is magnanimous, enormous, you know, it's about Azim is being big, very enormous. Also, it also means strength. So remember this meaning, the strength. Because it is driven from Ayn, Wa, and Meem. And Azam Meem, Brother Abdul Munim can tell us. Azam Meem, what is Azam? Izama. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say that they say qalu aidha kunna idhaman wa rufatan a inna lamabuthun, when we'll become bones only. Yeah, azm mean in Arabic bone. Yeah, now bone has what attribute? Strength. It's not broken, and you are in a position, in a bowing position, you have bowed, so you're saying that strength is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here I am, no strength. I have all my strength, I am, you know, and this is the humility. And I say this is the two perspective, two modes, if you like. I just wanted to share with you because this is something that I practice as well. One is the remembrance mode, yeah, which is to say, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim. So you're remembering, remember? You're trying to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when you say Subhan Rabbi al-Azim, pure is my Lord the greatest, al-Azim, say it with this feeling, you know, that you're trying to remember this is the attribute. And the second mode is calling upon mode, which is in the dua mode. So I'm calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Subhan Rabbi al-Azim, and after that say, for example, Allahumma ighfirli, oh Allah forgive me, yeah, ighfirli, irhamni, say something like this. So these are the two perspectives, if you like. I maybe it requires more explanation, but you know, with your own thinking, it will be probably better. Now, these are not the only du'as. There are a number of du'as that Prophet ﷺ has made. For example, Subhanakallahumma Rabbana wa bihamdik, Allahumma ghfirli. Also, Subbuhun Quddusun Rabbul Malaikati wa Ruh, Subhana Dhil Jabaruti wal Malakuti wal Kibriyai wal Azama. And this is the last one, is very beautiful. Allahumma laka raka'atu wa bika amantu wa laka aslamtu khasha'a laka sam'i wa basari wa mukhi wa azmi wa asabi wa mastaqalla bihi qadami. So just if you want to memorize them, this will be uploaded on the website, download, and inshallah, and you know, you can find it. Now qawma, so you stand up from ruku, you just did the zikr. Okay, who will tell the meaning? Not the people, the brothers who are Arab. سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدَ. What is the meaning? Yes, very good. So, سَمِعَ, listened. سَمِعَ اللَّهُ, Allah has listened. لِمَنْ, to whom? حَمِدَهُ, who has praised him. Now think about it. Did you really praise? If you really praised him from your heart, you stand up and you say this, and such a big thing. You know, you are saying from your own heart that Allah has listened to the one who has praised. So what will you say straight after this? Rabbana wa lakal hamd. And you will praise him further. So you will say, Rabbana wa lakal hamd. Hamdan, kathiran, tayyiban, mubarakan. After listening to this, that Allah has listened to your praises, you will say, oh Allah, more praises to you. So, and again, you know, there are other du'as when you stand up. But bring this feeling to your mind when you say Sami Allahu liman hamida. Allah is telling us that He has listened to the one who has praised Him. And then we say Rabbana wa lakal hamd, or Rabbana lakal hamd, with this feeling in heart. Then you go to sujood. And this is again the, according to one of the hadith, you are the closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this position. Yeah?
Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. Now al-Azim was about it was enormity, yeah, being big, being strong. Al-A'la is about quality. So if we can say that is quantitative attribute, this is qualitative attribute. We use in Urdu we commonly say A'la khana, A'la food, or if we say quality food, you will say A'la. We use this word. And so anything that's on top, the best, yeah, the highest quality, and you are in the lowest of the forms. So we are in the lowest of the forms and saying he is the of the highest of the quality. And if you say, you know, that's again, you can use the same two perspectives, remembering mode, what I call, or calling upon mode. So in first sajda, you can say, you know, I'm remembering Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. This is like memorization and this remembrance. And in the second sajda, you can use the call upon mode. So you know, just like when you make dua with different names. Yeah? Oh Rahman. Yeah? Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. And you make dua after this. You call upon him. Allah. Allahumma is like a name, yeah? It's his personal name. So after this, and you can make other du'as, for example, La ilaha illa anta subhana, La ilaha illa halimul qareem, Subhanallah rabbil arshil azim, walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, and then you make the du'a. So you make du'as with the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And according to one hadith, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the day of judgment will go into prostration, the accounts will not have been starting, and the people would come to him and they would request that make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that our reckoning start. Imagine that day. The reckoning wouldn't start. And people would think that, you know, we would like to just know what is the decision. Here or there. Just start it. And then he will go into the prostration and he will make dua with the names that he says that he hasn't told anyone before. So he will make the dua with these names. So you're making the dua here with this name. Rabbi al-A'la. Rabbi al-A'la, and then make the dua. So this is the call upon mode, if you like. I just read this saying which was attributed to Ali radiallahu anhu. I don't know if its authenticity, if it is correct or not, but somebody said, why two sujood? Why not just one sajda? And this saying is attributed to Ali radiallahu anhu, that he said, the first sajda is to remind you that you were nothing and you were created from dust. Yeah? Then you stand up, you were in this world. And then the second sajda reminds you that you're going to be dust again. And then you stand up. Wallahu alam. I don't know, I mean, if he said it or not. But this is a beautiful feeling. It's like, yes, that's how we were created and that's where we will be. and yes, so we talked about the word Rabb, you know, what can you bring to your mind. Again, a number of du'as that you can make. Especially this one, Allahumma laka sajadtu wa bika amantu wa laka aslamtu sajada wajhiya lilladhi khalaqahu wa sawwarahu wa shaqqa sam'ahu wa basarahu tabarakallahu ahsanul khaliqin. This is also for sajda tilawa. If you're doing a sajda while reciting the Quran, this dua here, sajada wajhiya lilladhi khalaqahu, this is also recommended. Then you sit down between the two sujood is also dua. The shortest one is Rabbi ghafirli, Rabbi ghafirli. Yeah? Just say Rabbi ghafirli. Oh Allah, forgive me. This is the time that you have just emerged from the closest position to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now ask whatever you want to ask. And the longer version is Allahumma ghafirli, warhamni, wahdini, wajburni. Which is very beautiful. You know, you're asking for hidayah, you're asking for mercy, you're asking for hidayah. Sorry, starting with, maghfirah. Then mercy, then hidayah, then fulfilling the loss. So if fajburni means, oh Allah, fulfill my losses, or cover my losses. Wa afini, and protect me. Warzukni, and give me my provision. Wa rafani, and raise my ranks. So beautiful du'as again. And again, when you go to tashahud, so remember the meanings. At-tahiyyatu lillahi. وَالصَّلَوَاتُ وَالطَّيِّبَاتُ. Commonly people don't know. What does At-Tahiyyat mean? At-Tahiyyat? Yes. All the, or bodily worships, if you like. Sorry, the the worship of the tongues, the adhkar, all of the adhkar, at-tahiyyat. And tayyib salawat, all of the prayers, but it also it means bodily prayer, you know, worships. Or any bodily, for example, your psalm is a bodily worship, hajj is a bodily worship, all of that is bodily. And tayyibat, it means, you know, pure things, but it also means, according to one interpretation, is charities. So you, what you spend to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah? So what you say, what you do, and what you spend is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So remind yourself of this. And then after this, you're saying, Assalamu alayka ayyuhan nabi wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is a dua. And this is the best thing that we can do for a Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We cannot invite him, you know, for dinners and lunches and so on. He's not amongst us. We wish we can. Yeah, he's not amongst us. But he has done the biggest favor on us. So what you can do at the minimum is make dua for him. And this is again beneficial for our own selves. We send peace and blessings on him once. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends peace and blessings on us 10 times. So it is for our own benefit. Then assalamu alayna wa ala ibadillahi salihin. أَشْهَدُ وَلَّا إِلَهِ إِلَّا اللَّهُ أَشْهَدُ وَأَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. So, you know, there is another course that I delivered a while ago, but there are a few courses on if you would like to understand further what Salah literally means, what are the feelings and imaginations. Because of the shortage of the time, I won't go into the details. Now, finally, اللهم إني أعوذ بك من عذاب القبر. These are the du'as that you can make at the end of the tashahud. Okay? Now remember, you are going to exit the salah very soon. Okay? And remember, this might be your last chance asking of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so, also here, this when you say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. Remember this hadith that whoever has this last, as the last kalima before death, is going to go into the Jannah inshallah. So imagine that this might be our last chance of saying this. After this we might die. We might not get the chance of the next salah. So say it with this feeling. Also all of these du'as. Now Prophet ﷺ used to prolong tashahud. Okay? Prolong tashahud so that you can make as many du'as as you can. Don't stop after saying Rabbi ja'alni muqeema salati. This is a common one that we learned from our childhood. You know, in India, Pakistan, that's what we learn. Rabbi ja'alni muqeema salati. But these are some of the hadith, the authentic one. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min a'zaab al-qabr wa a'udhu bika min a'zaab jahannam. وأعوذ بك من فتنة المسيح محيا والممات وفتنة المسيح الدجال. So very beautiful ones. I just unfortunately don't have time to do. Now, dealing with Shaitan, Uthman bin Abi al-As رضي الله عنه came complaining to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and he said, the Shaitan comes between me and my salah and causes me problem with my recitation. So the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, that is a Shaitan called Khanzab. So if you feel his presence, seek refuge in Allah and blow a mist to your left 3 times. He said, I applied this advice and Allah has rid me of him. So brothers, you're standing, the shaitan has promised to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he will astray, make us astray. From, you know, this is his mission. So imagine that you're standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with all the focus and all that. Do you think the shaitan will leave you? Forget about it. There's a special shaitan which is called Khanzab, according to this hadith, that is appointed to disturb us in our salah. So if you feel that, you know, he's making you, you know, this disturbance in your salah, the way to do it is on your left side, you know, you say A'udhu Billah and you say just like this, you know, small mist. You don't spit like that, but very small one. So it's okay to say A'udhu Billahi Mink, you know, just 3 times. And as this is seeking refuge, so that's what seeking refuge is. A'udhu billahi minka. So don't think that it's, you know, one-off effort. You will have to. And one point that I want to emphasize: you focused. After a while, you lost focus and you went into your own thoughts and so on. As soon as you remember, come back. Don't think that, you know, you have lost now the salah. No, every time you go away, come back. Whenever you're reminded of this. So make use of your focus as much as you can. This was really the crux of it. I just have a couple of slides on the fourth lecture, nothing much, which is after Salah, you know, when you say salam, if you want to ask me this about this, the evidence, I can talk to you about this. But according to scholars, who are you saying the salam to? So one saying said that you say the salam to your angels, your right angels and to your left angels. So it's a reminder, although that you're exiting from salah, but remember they're sitting here recording your deeds. Yeah. You also say salam especially in a congregation prayer. You say salam to your right hand side, the people on your right hand side, to your left hand side, and to imam. So when you say assalamu alaikum, bring this feeling that who is it that you're saying salam to? Yeah, and it has you know, good bearing. And after this, you see, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to say this after every salah. You know, there are a number of du'as, but these ones, the ones that I just, you know, listed here. Allahu Akbar once and Astaghfirullah three times. Now, you just prayed and you're saying Astaghfirullah. Why? Bring this to your mind that, you know, you tried your best, yet we were not able to fulfill completely. So we're seeking Allah's forgiveness for whatever shortcomings in our salah we have run. And Allahumma anta salam wa minka salam. Again, this dua that I wanted to emphasize, if you haven't memorized this before, please memorize this. Allahumma a'inni, O Allah, help me, ala dhikrik, on your dhikr, wa shukrik, and your thank, wa husni ibadatik, and to make my ibadah the perfect ibadah. This is the best dua that you can make. And this is after the salah. You just made the salah and then you're seeking Allah's help that, you know, help me make this better next time. Help me make this better this next time. So remember this dua, memorize this dua if you haven't, and say it all the time. When you say Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, bring to it. When you say Subhanallah, can you think of the virtues of Allah 33 times? Or if not, even 10 times? Because there are hadiths that you can say 10 times, each of them as well. When you say Alhamdulillah, think of, you know, 10 bounties that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given, favors that He has made on you. Allah says in the Quran that if you want to count His blessings, you won't be able to. And I often think that, you know, my list finishes after 20. Subhanallah, or 30. You know, we don't even realize the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. When you say Allahu Akbar, think of it. Allahu Akbar, then what? Remember, it literally means Allah is greater. Greater than what? Greater than my family, greater than my work, greater than my whatever. So when you say Allahu Akbar, say it slowly. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. And your nafs will tell you that it says Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Yeah. So try to avoid this. Say it nicely. Even as I said, if you don't want to say it 33 times, say it 10 times. But try to say it properly. Subhanallah, Subhanallah, Subhanallah. Don't rush through it. The three qul, as we say, Surah Al-Ikhlas, Al-Falaq, Al-Nas, these three surah, make it a habit to say it after every salah. You know, and they there is special effects of these surah, these surah that, you know, and also Ayatul Kursi. So lastly, you know, live from one salah to the next salah. Wait for the next salah. Yeah. And as I said, so you're seeking help, you're seeking the guidance of what to say, how to move, how to, you know, behave, how to interact with people, how to do stuff in your work, and so on. You just sought Allah's guidance. Seek it until the next prayer. Then you seek it for the next prayer. So live from salah to salah. And remember, khushu is obligatory. And keep trying. You know, this is the message. Do not give up. This is not something that, you know, we're going to attain it overnight. We need effort in achieving the khushu. So the point is that, you know, you don't give up and keep trying, inshallah. And finally, if this workshop, lecture series, or, you know, this course has, you know, benefited you in any way, please make dua for me, especially dua for forgiveness for any shortcomings, anything that I haven't said which was correct. Make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, you know, He forgive me for this, and He accepts me from accept this effort from all of us, inshallah. With this I close, and if you have any discussion, really, not really questions them. We can talk about it. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Jazakumullahu khairan.